B-Pod Studios.
Tim McManus and Bennett is the podcast. T-Mac!
What's going on, Anthony? The Eagles pulling off the rare feat of coming out of the bye week more injured than they went in.
Yeah, what's going on? Is Jordan Howard not going to play?
Well, he hasn't been cleared for contact yet, and it's Friday. But Peterson said that he had a stinger that he sustained in a Chicago game late. That has been a pattern because Alshon Jeffrey also suffered his ankle injury late in that Chicago game. And Jordan Howard has been cleared for contact. So he's been out there. You know, he's had his helmet on, he's had his pads on, but obviously has been limited in what he can do.
Wow.
And it's a very short window between now and Sunday. And when you're dealing with the stinger, you know, if he hasn't been cleared yet, you just want to throw him right back into action. So, it's possible, certainly seems like it's heading towards the way that Howard won't be available. Same could be said with Jeffrey. He hasn't been on the field all week. So Carson Wentz is going to be heading into this game against one of the best defenses in football shorthanded.
Wow, wow, wow. I mean, what do you do with the running back situation? It's what, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott? I know they worked out of Jai. It's very, very rare that you get a guy that you sign without him going to practice. He would just have a walkthrough under his belt. What do you do with back?
Yeah, I would say if Ajayi does get signed, it'll probably be in like an emergency type situation because, as you say, he hasn't played since October.
Yeah.
Coming off of that torn ACL, and he's in here today and hasn't been part of their game planning. So really, what could he give you and what is realistic to expect from him? So I think that you're going to have Miles Sanders as your primary guy. I think that Boston Scott is going to be your number two, and I think that there's a real possibility that they call up D'Angelo Henderson off of their practice squad to be the number three, you know, and that's probably
that's
the way
wild.
That they're going to go. If Ajayi is signed and activated, I would imagine it would have to be in an emergency situation.
Yeah. So no Jordan Howard, what's the Eagles offense? What's it going to look like?
And no Darren Sproles. Yeah, he's about to go on IR with the torn hip flexor. So there's all these sorts of bad things happening to the Eagles at the absolute worst time, I think, in a really big game against the Patriots and this two-game stretch between them and the Seahawks. So what are they going to do on offense? Well, I mean, they're going to have to lean on, you know, number one, Miles Sanders. He emerges into a really big spot. He's been coming on but hasn't been in that primary role, so I think that he needs to elevate his game. If you look at what Belichick likes to do, he's going to be taking away Zach Ertz more than likely with double teams, just like he did in parts in the Super Bowl and like Matt Patricia did to him when Detroit played the Eagles earlier this year, which means that a lot of the weight is going to fall on the shoulders of guys like Dallas Goedert. Also puts a huge spotlight on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I think that, you know, this is his moment, his first big moment where he is thrust into this position and is going to have to bail the Eagles out a little bit here.
Wow. Wow. All right. What do you know about the Patriots?
I know that.
Honestly, look at them. How real? Because, you know, we hear about, they didn't play anybody, and, you know, we know about Brady and Belichick, obviously, and their offense, and now Sanu is their only real, their other weapon on the outside, along with Edelman. Who are they?
Well, I would say that their identity is primarily on the defensive side of the ball this year. And it's fair to bring up their competition because they haven't really played anybody of note with the exception of Baltimore. And Baltimore, got the better of them in that game. And so it's fair to wonder, okay, is the 8-1 record totally legit? Are the stats totally legit? And I think that you could probably honestly say that maybe they're not as good as the record looks, that their defense isn't quite as dominant as the stats would suggest. But it would also be unfair, or it would be wrong to kind of think to fall into the trap to be like, okay, well, the Eagles can really take advantage of them. Because as we just laid out, they're in a bad spot offensively. And here's what the Patriots have done. And they are far and away the leaders in these two categories. Interceptions, 19 already. Through this part of the season. I mean, even if you are playing bad quarterbacks, that is still a staggering number. And on the opposite side of that is 3 touchdowns through the air allowed all season long. 3. So, I mean, that's not all about the competition. a lot of that is about the defensive secondary that they deploy, the scheme that they roll out there, which can shift like a chameleon from week to week and can confuse quarterbacks. And so that's really their identity, along with, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time on the other side, making it work like he always does, even when the parts change.
Now, they did struggle a little bit with the run game. They were talking about they needed more from Sony Michel. You know, I'm hoping that the Eagles, I guess from an Eagles standpoint, I think you need to hope that they're both sides of the ball, the trenches, control the other side. Because I think that's kind of where your biggest advantage lies.
I think you're 100% right. I think that's honestly the only Eagles' chance to win this game against New England is for both lines to dominate. If they can do it on the offensive side, then that can allow Miles Sanders to slice and dice them and open some things up for Jordan Matthews and Arcega Whiteside and Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. And you can see a recipe there if the offensive line is truly dominant. And I think that they do have the advantage in this game. I also think they do have an advantage on the defensive line. And if Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox can continue to play the way that they have the last two games before the bye, then they have a shot at making Brady's life uncomfortable. You know, maybe waking up some echoes from Super Bowl 52, from late in that game anyway. And planning
Barnett,
that speed.
Right? You can see Barnett getting some pressure off the edge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't bank on him week to week, but sure. Yeah. I think that it's possible that he can do that. And so I think that you 100% nail it on the head. That's the way for the Eagles to escape, even with these injuries, is to dominate up front.
97. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Five, the Fanatic. It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you talk much about the Myles Garrett situation with some of the guys?
No, we haven't been in the locker room. In fact, it opens up in just a few minutes. That'll be our first chance to talk to them since that incident went down, but I'm sure they're going to have some opinions on it.
Wow, man. It's funny because, you know, it's basically being played on a loop. And, like, every time you see it, you just go, whoa, what? You know, I mean, he could have killed them on national television.
It's crazy. And I don't know that Garrett had that reputation. I know he had a couple penalties, you know, a couple fines this year, but that's not how I imagined him. But in this modern day NFL in particular, like, that's never acceptable. But in the modern NFL where they're trying to really put a premium, at least relatively speaking, on player safety and kind of being within the lines, I mean, you saw right away they levied that suspension. It's like indefinitely. He's out for the rest of the year, and who knows beyond that. So, I think that's the right course of action, honestly.
So, I do too. But it's funny because I was talking to Baldy, and he said that he saw Garrett throw a wicked punch in the first game of the year against Tennessee, and he goes, he was lucky he didn't break his hand, lucky he didn't get thrown out of the game. So he's got that kind of history of losing it at times. Back to the Eagles, T-Mac, real quick. When you look at this game, it's not a it's, you want to win it, you want to split the next two, but it's not you're dead if you lose this game. Don't you still think it comes down to the Cowboy game?
Yeah, I think that it largely does. In fact, it was funny when we were sitting down waiting for one of the press conferences to start yesterday, and it was Mike Garofalo who's like, you know, the next 5 weeks don't even really mean anything, guys, because it's coming down to that Cowboys game. And he raises
a sarcastic bastard.
He raises a point, right? Mike. It's like even though the world's going to be upside down if they lose this game or lose the next two, there still is this kind of path forward given how down the NFC East is, the rest of the schedule really opening up for them. And that you have the Cowboys at home and, you know, circle that in giant red marker like that. It does seem like their fate is tied to that game. So, yes, I mean, this game, you know, certainly would be significant, I think, for the mental state of this team. Like, if they can overcome this and beat the Patriots, maybe that can really get them rolling. in the second half. But yes, I think to your point, it's not a must win in the truest sense of the word.
T-Mac, great stuff. Everything else, kind of status quo, besides those two big injuries?
Yeah, that's really the big thing. One thing that I would watch is Arcega Whiteside. We got to talk with him kind of extensively yesterday, and it was a really interesting conversation where he explained that he's been trying to master these three positions, and he's learning like hundreds upon hundreds of plays that he's trying to absorb and then play fast at the same time. He admitted that he was making a lot of mental mistakes in practice, so that's why he was kind of limited. And then something clicked in, kind of leading into that Bears game that the coaches saw, and they started to trust him more. He's processing things quicker. He now feels like he has a command of all three positions. And I'm really curious to see if that translates in a huge moment, in a huge game against the Patriots, where he's going to be leaned on more. He's going into it confident that he has gotten past those kind of mental hurdles and is now going to be able to play. And man, wouldn't that be a huge boost for this team if he can find a way to do that?
I like that. It's funny. You've seen him. Can he move quickly?
Yeah.
If there's this kind of picture that he is plodding, but he's not really plodding, is he? I mean, he can move a little bit.
Right, yeah. I think he's kind of been cast that way, like this kind of slow, big receiver, but I don't view him that way.
Okay.
I think that he's got like 4 or 5 speed. I've seen him in training camp setting kind of break past the secondary and outpace them for a touchdown, quote-unquote touchdown. So I've seen it, and I believe that the kind of slow thing is more like he was explaining it to us very well yesterday, where he's getting to the line. He's like, okay, this guy is lining up here. So what does that mean? What should my release be?
Right.
What's this play? And like, cause every play that you memorize, there's like 4 different scenarios that you have to go through. And then the ball snaps and now he's kind of recovering. So I think that's what people have seen, but when he is at his optimum, he's going to look a lot faster than I think he did before. So he's never going to be Deshaun, but I think that he's kind of been miscast as this kind of slow-footed big receiver. I think he can do a little bit of both.
Yeah. Hopefully he can have quick chemistry with Carson, because that's the other thing, that getting that chemistry, particularly with a guy like Carson, is paramount, I think, to have that kind of hookup.
Totally. I mean, that would be huge for this team. I mean, because they need somebody on that receiving corps to step up. So, who else than the guy that they spent a high pick on?
That's right. Hey, listen, T-Mac, great stuff as always. The podcast embedded, T-Mac, ESPN, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. You're the best, man. We love you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.